Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne. And together, we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actionable takeaways you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing veteran, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level.
Hi, Emily.
Hello.
We're talking about messy CRMs today.
Yes, we
are. A conversation we have so often.
So often. I love a good messy CRM cleanup. It's a fulfilling feeling.
Could not agree more. And we're good at it. We do a lot of this. It is a very, very common thing. So often we talk to people who are just embarrassed or feel like they're different because they have a messy CRM. And the reality is, I would be blown away if somebody said my CRM rocks and it is so clean, because it is an easy thing if you don't have the right habits set up to get messy. So it's really, really common. And it can cause stress and it can cause confusion. Duplicate contacts, messy CRMs. Like, what does that even mean? Like duplicate contacts or incomplete fields or really outdated things.
I also feel like yes. And like data hygiene is not static. Like, I don't feel like you can just like have good process and like, I just expect data to like never get messy. I think having systems to monitor and fix consistently is a big thing here, because you're never going to have a perfect system.
I mean, it's like the same thing as spring cleaning for your house. You need to go in and audit your CRM. Where are you with it? What's going on? What needs cleaning? What areas need focus? It is what is integrated. Like, there's a lot of ways to audit your system. Mm-hmm. We do portal audits at Lead G2, and sometimes you just need to step back and see the highlights of where you are in your CRM to be able to make a decision on where you need to dive in to clean up.
Yes, I completely agree. And I do think that there are some like good practices in terms of you've decided your CRM, step one, CRM is a mess, right? So like you're at the beginning stages, you've identified that there's a problem and your CRM is a mess. And then we can talk through like ongoing CRM, like maintenance basically. But initially, CRM's a mess. What do you do? And I think the biggest thing is just to understand your goals, right? Yeah. Like, what are the goals? What in our CRM is so unnecessary that someone put there so many years ago and you don't even need it anymore? What do we need right now? What are our goals moving forward? And then do some like real understanding of what's needed in order to meet those goals. Because you might have spreadsheets of things outside of the CRM that you're tracking in, because that information is not in the CRM, right? So like even more so, the CRM is messy. You're now relying on spreadsheets and post-it notes to do what your CRM could do. So you're kind of getting your goals together.
And your mindset to be thinking, it's not just a tool that you have to keep clean. You need to think about how can you think about what your business goals are and then how your CRM can help you, right? Yeah. Like you're saying, like if you have that spreadsheet, like how could that be incorporated into your CRM? Not as like one more thing to clean and to manage. It should be your business goals and how your CRM is a part of that.
Yeah. Cause you don't want to have, you don't want to have useless information in your CRM. And you don't want to have so much information that you can't sort through or build, you know, good reports on, because it's just too much and no one uses it. And I think honestly, CRM data gets to a point where it's just unusable because people don't trust the information that's in there. And they don't have like a standard practice or expectation for how they should be using it. So they just fall on Whenever I see a seller who has like a random spreadsheet or something where they're tracking their prospects, I'm always like, oh yeah, there was no expectation here, because that is, they fall back on a crutch and it's typically a spreadsheet.
And the point of a CRM is to help you improve your conversions, your efficiency, your team being aligned. It's not supposed to be the other way around, like an extra chore to do. Mm-hmm. But no, I agree. And then managers are always like, blame it on the Karen. Oh, Karen doesn't log yep. her. So our data's all useless. Like,
she's been here for 20 years. She doesn't need to use it. And then you start having like,
user behavior is its own category of this. So cleaning your data and then addressing user behavior on how you can continue to,
yes.
I mean, not keep it perfectly clean, but manage it moving forward where it's useful.
So let's give the people what they want.
Okay.
What specifics can we give tangible advice here for, let's say, you know, random HubSpot admin listening to this, or manager who fears that their CRM is useless because it's so dirty? What can you do? And I think that it's twofold. You got to clean the data. The data needs to be cleaned, and we'll give you some tips on that. But second, you need to have clear expectations set, and you need to make sure that your team, you don't want to do all the cleaning, all of this side, and then it just gets dirty again because no one's going to use it and everyone's just going to keep doing what they're doing. So we need to have cleaning tips, and then we also need to have expectation tips. And okay. I will say for data standards, so expectations, mm-hmm. you need to decide what needs to go in a record. Like, I would say that's a big piece of this. What needs to be entered in a record? Does every single record need to have a first, last name, and email? Yes. Does every
answer contact, that? Yes, you don't have
I'm
to
gonna go ahead and answer that. Yeah. What else do we need about them? Do you need to know their
life cycle stage and contact owner?
Stage and contact owner.
Next, yes. Most important.
Yeah. Do you need to have an email address? Yes. Yes, you do, because you're going to email them and you're going to be like, oh, I don't have an email address. Do you need to have an email address? You need to have any information that you want to track on them that you can segment them into to list. So if that means knowing their favorite color, their birthday, their where they live, their industry, their job title, anything that you need to be able to pull a list, you need to have that tracked. HubSpot doesn't just know that information. You have to give that information.
And let's go ahead and say, do as minimal open field text as possible. Drop downs or bullet selecting are so much better for segmentation and creating lists long term. So less yes. open field text.
Yeah, I've even seen it like when a deal goes to closed one and then it's like an open field text and I'm like, no.
Pointless. You'll never be able to get any data from that because
like you can't pull a report on every single person's answer ever on that. So yeah, as many possible drop down selects or pick lists, they will be your best friends.
And then let's also say start small.
Yes.
Don't require 19 properties for every new company in contact for your salespeople or users to put in. That starts overwhelming, right? So start mm-hmm. small. I mean, honestly, I think first name, last name, email, life cycle stage, and contact owner are the five actual crucial things you need. And yes. then everything else is gravy, right? You can have a very clean CRM if you only require those five things for all users to put in.
And you need to require the association between the company and the contact. Ooh. I see all the time what I lovingly call floating contacts, where they're just like floating in the CRM and no one knows who they belong to or where they go. And I would say as an expectation, company is always added first. We add our company first and then we add our
contacts corresponding
contacts within the company.
Right.
I also see this all the time, especially with outbound salespeople that prospect. We don't want info at and then the name be no name or still researching or whatever.
Cop out.
You can't enroll people in a sequence with that.
As somebody trying to claim a company when they really have no idea a single contact there.
Right. Yes. So, I mean, those types of expectations, and write them down and make sure everyone understands that those are the expectations, and then build yourself a list or a report of everyone who doesn't have an email. associated to them.
That's a great way to clean, right? There you go. That's a great way to clean. You can look at that list of anybody who doesn't have one of those five necessities and decide from there. Do you know how to add that necessity to them or should you remove them? It should be one or the other.
Yep. Yep. Because at the end of the day, you want your CRM to be reliable. And I think that people don't rely on the CRM data when they feel like it's out of date or that some people use it and some people don't. So you want to make sure that everything in the CRM is reliable and that the expectation is set that everyone's using it, because then people will feel more bought into using it if everyone's using it. I just find that
quality over quantity here. If you have less contacts that are real, that is much better than just having a full CRM that is nothing.
Yes, totally.
And then this also reminded me, Emily, something that we do for our clients that is really valuable in setting up and maintaining both your CRM is your CRM usage guidelines. So making sure that you have it's like your style guide, right? So people have their brand guidelines and their style guidelines. Also having guidelines for your CRM, how you use it, what is required, what you expect, letting people know what some of the automations are, what they should expect to happen when they get assigned a contact in the system. Just documenting all of that in layman's terms for people who aren't deep in the CRM automation and setup and management side can really help your entire company understand, okay, this is how this works. This is what I can expect.
It also helps a ton with new employees too, because about this, like CRM, oh my gosh, our CRM is so dirty. I'm going to spend all this time and energy cleaning up our CRM, hire a new employee who has absolutely no idea how you use the CRM. They're going to go in and just start entering things and maybe not the way you like it. Maybe the way you like a deal entered is like, you know, year, client name, specific product they're buying, or like you have a very specific like naming, you know, conventions for things and they don't know that. So, you know, documenting that and being able to hand that to them for reference. That goes really well with the expectation side. So developing these expectations, documenting them, making sure to refer back to them. When we notice people aren't doing the expectation, telling them and reminding them and fixing it. And then having like lists and information to refer back to continue to maintain cleanliness. Okay. So now let's go to the actionable side of this. Like right now, so we've talked about building those expectations, documenting them, and then ongoing maintenance of data cleanliness. Right now though, what can someone do right now if their data is super dirty? Like what lists can they make? What actions can they do right now that's going to help clean up the system? And I would say lean on lists, lean on sorting, go in there, pull lists of every single person who has had no activity on their record for the last, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years. Start off big, and then you can whittle down from there, but make a list of that and then send it to whoever needs to see it, the sales manager, the, you know, GSM, whoever, maybe it's you and you can just say delete.
I'll also say delegating. Like this isn't like a one man job to go in and clean up a CRM. It should be anyone who's using it. If you own a contact, if you own records or companies in the system, then you should be the one responsible for keeping those records clean. Like dividing your database by contact owner or no owner and going from there. Should be step number one. And that way, whoever the expectation should be that if you own the contact, then you are responsible for the properties and the upkeep of those contacts.
Yep.
So dividing by that first and then dividing by lifecycle stage. So all people in the system that Jeremy owns that are a sales qualified lead, are they really sales qualified leads? Are they accurate representations of who your sales qualified leads are that Jeremy is going after? You know, so again, we talked about those five most important properties to be accurate. Make lists on each of those and sub lists, right? But contact owners should be responsible for their own.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense for one person to be in charge of the entire CRM. It makes sense for anyone who owns a contact or is responsible for a company to be able to update their own list.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I agree. Delegate. Also, no contacts should, I mean, ideally contacts shouldn't be unassigned. Like we shouldn't have people in our CRM that don't have an owner at all. They should serve some kind of purpose and have some kind of owner of them. So maybe make a list of everyone who doesn't have an owner, everyone in the system that doesn't have an email address, any hard bounces. If you've emailed anyone who it's hard bounced, they probably no longer work there. You can go into the workflows and clean up any workflows that have run into errors. Go to the deals pipeline. Make sure that there's not like deals that closed months and months ago that are just sitting in proposal presented. And encourage, again, like Berrien said, like delegate this stuff. Make sure that people understand the expectations and understand you have a clean slate moving forward, and then go make it happen alongside them.
And then another list I would recommend is just marketing contact or non-marketing contact. If you're familiar with HubSpot, you pay for your marketing contacts and you can have unlimited non-marketing contacts, but you cannot send marketing emails to them. I recommend and advise everyone in your system should be a marketing contact unless there's a reason they're a non-marketing contact. You probably have a lot of reasons for non-marketing contacts, and that is so great and valid, and you might have a ton of them. I know we go through seasonalities of having a lot for a certain reason and then removing them from marketing contacts. But my advice is make sure you know that's a known reason, right? You don't want the goal of your CRM is to market to people. So most people should be a marketing contact. You want to pay for more marketing contacts. That's more people you can market to. However, if there's a reason to have someone as a non-marketing contact, leave them in your system. It has a non-marketing contact. Don't dirty up your system by thinking, I don't know what to do with them. Non-marketing contacts are free. I'll just mark this person as non-marketing.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, absolutely. And a shameless plug, as always, LeadGPT does this. You know, you could tap us and say, my CRM is dirty. Please help. And we will bring our team and jump right in and do all of this for you. But it is doable should you decide to do it yourself and have those internal resources. The biggest thing I advise is do it, right? Whether you have someone else do it, whether you do it, it is useless to everyone to pay for a tool that is dirty and unreliable that no one is using. And it's frustrating to feel like the information inside of a CRM is not accurate, and it's hard to build adoption when people don't feel like anyone is using it correctly.
And start now, you know, I mean, celebrate as you go, make this a good experience, right? When one of your salespeople has a really clean list of all of the contacts they own, you should definitely celebrate that, and continue to build habits of ongoing ownership in the CRM. Yep.
And nothing is super permanent in HubSpot. So if you were to delete some contacts and no one notices, you have 90 days to restore them. I mean, yeah. You could always just do some deleting, do some shuffling, and see if people notice, right? Because like at the end of the day, starting smaller and growing, I always find is easier than, you know, 10,000 people in a database and you don't even know where to begin.
No. And I think that something we do really well is encouraging our whole team really does a good job of encouraging our clients to get in there and use it, right? You don't want to, agencies are great in helping. And if an agency's doing their job, they're having you take ownership and learn and use and not be afraid of your tool, right? So your agency shouldn't do all of it for you. They should be able to encourage you to go in there and do it yourself. So you're not, HubSpot makes it very, very, very hard to break things. I kind of like it when my clients mess something up and I can go in and fix it for them because it means that they're in there, they're trying, they're making mistakes, they're playing in it. The worst is when people are like, I was too scared I was going to mess something up, so I just didn't do it at all.
Right.
Usually very fixable. I have undeleted giant lists, restored. You can do, there's a lot of restoration possibilities. So go in there, make mistakes, and then call your agency rather than saying, I'm going to hire an agency to do it all for me because I'm too scared.
Like, yes.
It's your tool. You know, your agency would be doing you a disservice if they didn't teach you how to use it for yourself.
Yes, totally agree. Okay, on that note, should we jump into some Q&A?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right, questions that we've received in the last couple of weeks. So, hey, what are some ways to improve the customer experience throughout the sales process, especially when it feels like there's a disconnect between marketing and sales teams?
Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of different ways to do this. Customers do, they know when there's a disconnect between marketing and sales teams. If you're feeling it, they're feeling it. So, it's good to make that, known. And, something that I think marketing and sales being united in one CRM, going back to the conversation we just had and we're like talking about CRMs here, being united in one CRM and being able to see how marketing affects the sales process and where they're talking top of funnel and bottom of the funnel and how that connects to what the salesperson is doing, is great. So actually using a CRM and being able to have those insights would be one step I would recommend for that.
Yeah. I mean, HubSpot started out, and you know, I'm just talking about HubSpot because that's what we use, but generally speaking, HubSpot started out as a marketing tool, right? So it was a marketing automation platform, and they actually built on a CRM because it was so important for marketing purposes to know what sellers are doing. You need to be marketing and selling in like the same motion. So I would, I agree with everything Marianne said. And I also think just having like regular marketing and sales meetings, having marketing discussing with sales, having sales discussing with marketing their needs. I think all of that will really help improve that experience and make sure that the messaging is aligned. Mm-hmm. Okay. We want to use testimonials and reviews more often in our marketing materials, but our customers don't always provide feedback voluntarily. Do you have suggestions for how we can get more testimonials from our customers?
Yeah, nobody's customers really voluntarily provide feedback regularly. You have to ask for it, and you need a routine and a habit and automation to make that happen. And you need to be intentional about what you're asking and who you're asking, right? You have to have a system for asking for feedback and expecting not everyone's going to give it. But you're on the right track. I think that if you're even thinking about that and knowing you want to use testimonials, step one is done. Like making sure that you are thinking about that regularly is great. So now just take action. Send a survey to your clients. Send a survey to your clients and ask them if you can use a quote for it in a testimonial. Book 20 minutes with one of your best customers and interview them about their process, their experience from before they worked with you to now, and create a testimonial case study for it and put it on your website. It doesn't have to be a hard task. It should be a regular routine talking with your customers. There's a two win from it, right? You can create an awesome testimonial. And also if there's any negative feedback, you have opened that and you can preemptively address it before it got to a point where they were upset about something.
Yeah. I totally agree. No one voluntarily gives feedback. Think about your day-to-day walking around in the world, the amount of times people ask you to go give a review. Or, I mean, I just had a dishwasher installed yesterday, and on the way out, he was like, Lowe's is going to call you, and will you give us a 10-star review? I mean, I would never go on Lowe's and give him a review, but because he asked, I will. And I think that that's an important piece. You have to ask for that, and people will be more willing to do it. And if they have built a relationship with you and like you. So, yeah.
Okay. I love it.
Hey. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Thank you all for tuning in today. Feel free to connect with us. You can find our contact info in the show notes. And we look forward to more episodes and more of your questions. Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.